Welcome back to SwampSwami.com and our sports podcast. Today, weather or not. It's springtime here in the Deep South, and that means it's time to head outdoors for college football spring games and golf, fishing, mowing the yard, the return of barbecue weekends, and spending time in the great outdoors. Here in the Deep South, spring also means the return of our annual tornado season. If your primary east-to-west interstate highway system starts with the numbers 10, 20, 30, or 40, you're quite aware of the dangers of these spring storms at this time of year. They usually occur when the last blast of cooler winter temperatures clash with the South's increasing levels of heat and humidity from the good old Gulf of Mexico at this time of year. And that's why we've come to depend on the Weather Channel to bring us the latest advisories about those oncoming spring storms, right? Well, unless you happen to have had bad weather after 12 noon on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon, that is. Because on Sunday afternoon and evening this week, Mississippi cities from Yazoo City all the way up to Tupelo, the birthplace of Elvis Presley, were among the locations slammed by several dangerous springtime tornadoes. In all, 19 tornadoes were reported in Mississippi on Sunday alone. Fortunately, there were no fatalities, but extensive property damage has been reported. If you tuned into the Weather Channel on Sunday afternoon or evening looking for some coverage of this tornado outbreak in the Mid-South, you were sorely disappointed. When I checked the Weather Channel on Sunday night, it was airing another rerun of Highway Through Hell. Yes, that Canadian documentary showing how tow trucks always save the day along the lousy road systems of Western Canada. Or maybe it was Heavy Rescue 401, which is the same format only in the Toronto and Eastern Canada areas. I really appreciated the Weather Channel would explain to me why I should care more about Canadian tow truck operators rescuing endangered drivers instead of a serious weather event in the States. As a former worker in both radio and television, though, let me reveal to you the real truth why these shows are running on the Weather Channel. Live television programming is very expensive to produce. In addition to one or more on-camera meteorologists, you also need a couple of camera operators, a few technicians to find and load a variety of weather radar sources and create the screen graphics, a director to punch up the right camera shots and to cut the graphics, and a producer to tell the director how long he should spend in each segment and what should be the material covered at the moment. At the very least, you're probably talking a minimum of 10 people needed to run a studio operation during any live weather coverage. And that cost money. Even though the Atlanta-based Weather Channel, which began operating back in 1982, sells advertising to offset the cost of its daily weather coverage, the number of viewers will generally dwindle during certain hours. You know, those are the times where you'll now find the network running these non-weather shows, such as the one we talked about earlier. You can be sure that top management of the Weather Channel knows exactly how much production costs run to produce their live daily weather shows and the advertising revenues generated in any particular hour of the day, especially on weekends. Now that's the reason why you're not finding on-camera meteorologists on the Weather Channel after 7 p.m. Central Time on weeknights, and then after 12 noon they disappear on Saturday and Sundays. Don't remind the good people of northern Mississippi about all that today. By being AWOL during Sunday's dangerous weather outbreak, thousands of Mississippi residents were not kept informed by the one cable television channel which bills itself to be the Weather Channel. Sorry, Mississippi, we'll be back to cover the weather for you on Monday morning at 5 a.m. Besides, your local television station should be there to cover the oncoming tornadoes on a Sunday evening, right? Wow. In a moment of dramatic irony, less than 18 hours after Sunday's tornado break in Mississippi, I turned on the Weather Channel this morning, Monday, May the 3rd, at 9:30 a.m. Incredibly, a tornado warning had just been issued for the Metro Atlanta area, which, by the way, is the home of the Weather Channel. There were two weekday morning meteorologists there providing some great detail and faithfully covering this dangerous storm for about 45 minutes without taking one break until 10:15 a.m. In fact, one of the two Weather Channel meteorologists briefly mentioned that her daughter was a student at Georgia Tech, which is located near downtown Atlanta, as the storm was heading directly toward the university. Now that extra tidbit added a very relatable human interest perspective during this very serious live television moment. It also made for very compelling TV. It's just too bad that the Weather Channel did not take a similar attitude on Sunday afternoon and evening when the northern half of the state of Mississippi was being threatened in a similar fashion. Yes, the Weather Channel's management has developed a daily programming schedule to minimize the cost of providing live weather coverage while maximizing their own profitability by placing those cheaper alternative programs in their non-peak revenue hours. As the Weather Channel has retreated, startup ventures such as Weather Nation have appeared on the scene to give a little bit of meteorological competition. It's easy to see why viewership for the Weather Channel has been declining over the last few years. Those of us who were around when the network debuted nearly 40 years ago no longer feel as if we can depend on the network to cover breaking weather events during the network's off-peak autopilot hours, which now comprise almost 50% of the weekly schedule. During their first 20 years on the air, the Weather Channel was 24/7 weather coverage. You could literally get to know the on-camera meteorologist due to frequent familiarity. Sure, the coverage could get slow and repetitive on some slow weather days. Cable television viewers, especially travelers and those who depend on current weather information, such as agriculture and the transportation industries, could count on the Weather Channel to be on top of breaking weather stories faster than most local television affiliates. But not today. The network's management apparently thinks it is wiser to avoid losing money during certain day parts than to build long-term viewer loyalty. Today's current iteration of the Weather Channel doesn't even run its own local on the 8s feature the same way anymore. In years past, the network would run a local 60-second insert to provide your current weather conditions and radar and forecast every 8 minutes during the entire broadcast day. But if you tune in today, the local weather on the 8th segment is only occurring at the 18 and 48 minutes past the hour mark, and only while the Weather Channel is actually running live programming. Talk about your bait and switch. Besides, who needs local weather information when you can watch another truck slide off the slick roads of Western Canada on a Sunday evening? You would think that a network which bills itself as the Weather Channel would provide viewers with local weather information at least 3 or 4 times every hour, regardless of what type of programming they're running. But once the money changers at this weather outpost have put the network into its daily sleep mode, you might as well forget about getting any relevant national or local weather information during that time. When I consulted my wife about doing this story, she suggested that maybe the Weather Channel should have one person at the station dedicated to monitoring the nation's weather conditions at all times 24/7. Whenever a legitimate severe weather outbreak occurs, such as Sunday's tornado outbreak in Mississippi, maybe that person could contact a standby weather on-call team whose job it is to immediately drop what they're doing and come to the studio and spring into action. Like the network's hurricane coverage, the Weather Channel could even pre-negotiate one or more financial sponsorships, such as one of the big insurance companies or a big box home improvement store, to cover the incremental cost of covering a severe weather outbreak event like yesterday. That seems like a really practical idea which would check the boxes for management and viewers like me alike. It would also provide a very valuable public service to those people who are being affected and the concerned relatives watching for information. Saving a few lives would seem like a really good mission. Otherwise, maybe it's time for them to consider changing the name to the Missing Meteorologist Channel. I'm Swamp Swami. Come back and see us.